I would like for us to come to God's Word. And the portion that was read in our hearing from the 27th chapter of the Gospel according to Matthew. To Matthew chapter 27. We've been talking together on these Sunday mornings of the cross of the Lord Jesus and of his expressions, his cries, his words from the cross. We spoke, first of all, a few weeks ago about, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What a strange and amazing cry that was. And we were reminded during our children's story of Ruby Bridges, the little black girl who was forced to go to school, who went to school all alone as they were seeking to break the color barrier in Louisiana, what is the name of the capital of Louisiana? Let's see how well we know what we're doing. She twice a day, before and after school, on her way to and from school, prayed this prayer. Please, God, try to forgive those people. And because even if they say those things, they don't know what they're doing. So you could forgive them, just like you did those folks a long time ago when they said terrible things about you, just like Jesus prayed on the cross. She prayed that, a little girl, morning and evening, going to school, under great pressure, protected by federal army people. And when the Lord Jesus prayed that prayer, there was one who heard the prayer, and the one on the cross beside him responded after a period of time and said to the Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And the Lord Jesus not only took time, but gave attention and affection, compassion to this one, and said, today you will be with me in paradise. In paradise, where God is, where I would be. And then we heard that the Lord Jesus said to his mother, behold, woman, behold your son, John, who was standing beside. And to John, behold your mother. So that he gave attention to the one that had brought him physically into the world. The one who had cared for him during all of those years. He was caring for others during those first moments on the cross. And during those first moments, we find that amid the madding crowd, these expressions of the Lord Jesus were the expressions of his heart. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth did speak. Then darkness came, terrible darkness. This was not an ordinary Friday. This was not just any Friday afternoon. This was the afternoon when the Son of God, the Lamb of God, was taking away the sin of the world, and the sun hid itself. God saw that the sun was darkened. And in the picture that we've seen, the Passion of the Christ, they weren't able, and it wouldn't be effective, I suppose, if they darkened the screen to Stygian darkness for 3 hours of that period of time, during those 6 hours. 3 hours it was darkened. And during that time, the struggle went on and the life went on. The Lord Jesus still alive, but barely so. And as the sun began again to shine in the ninth hour of the day, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani. And again, amid the madding crowd and the terrible noise and the crush, and you know, I have seen the film. Jeannie and I went last Monday. And I felt as though I had a front row seat for history. History that was not fabricated by some man or distorted by some historian, but history that is revealed to us in the Word of God that was actually and is truth. So we saw something of this as it could be portrayed. And we heard something of his speaking amidst all of this. And we sat there in this front row seat of history and wondered, What is this all about? Martin Luther pondered this cry from the cross for hours and hours and hours, and they said that he sat like a stone without hardly breathing, meditating upon this, and people were not able to get to him because his meditation was on the cry of the cross, from the cross of the Lord Jesus, "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And after a long period of time, he finally said, "God, forsaking God, who can understand this? Who can understand this?" And I say to you, we can barely understand it. It's mind-boggling. But God has given to us the New Testament scriptures. And the New Testament scriptures give to us a glimpse into the understanding of what the Lord Jesus really was doing. But before we come to those scriptures, let me say that the words that he spoke were very important words. They were important, startling words. If he is able to say this to his Father, "Father, forgive them. We have seen and heard and read of injustice. We have known of people who have been innocent and who have been condemned, who have been persecuted." We go back to Abel, who was killed by his brother, and we say to ourselves, "How could that be?" We go through history and find that there were mass murders, that there were wars and rumors of wars, and people have died unjustly, totally with innocence, without anything wrong being done, where they were not guilty of the crime of being put to death. There have been those who have been crucified. I was hearing this week of Joan of Arc, who in the 15th century, a wonderful teenager, she was only 18 years old when she went to the guillotine. Joan of Arc was killed. And a young Christian she was, who cried out to the Lord Jesus in the last moments of her life. We say, "What injustice! What terrible injustice! Why? Why would this be?" But all of these people had some sin. We couldn't say of them that they are without fault. "I find no fault in him." The Lord Jesus was entirely without fault. He didn't have a blemish. And the Father had even said of him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And now the Father forsakes him at this moment of greatest need. And the Son allowed himself, without calling the legions of angels to come and deliver him or protect him, he allowed himself to be severed and cut off from his Father. It's an amazing statement. "Why hast thou forsaken me?" And not only is it startlingly important, it's a word of real woe. When I think of the word forsaken, you know, you think of forsaken and imagine in your experience and think back of situations where there's been a forsaking. A young woman phones us and says, "My husband is gone. He's gone. And I'm alone with the family and I haven't the means to care for them. I don't really know how to provide for them. I don't know where he's gone. I don't know why he's gone, but he's gone. And the family is forsaken." I think of children who are forsaken by their parents. You say, "That can't be," but it is. Children forsaken by their parents. Children who are actually murdered by some parents who are mentally not alert, I am sure, but children who are forsaken by their parents. When I was a patient in Riverdale Isolation Hospital back in 1951, I remember one wintry day when one of the nurses came in with a little bundle in her arms. The bundle was a baby. The baby had been left on the Girard Street Bridge that crossed the Don River. And she came along and the baby was still alive. And she had this mother-forsaken baby. The mother left the baby, wrapped in these clothes in the middle of winter. And this wonderful nurse picked her up and took her into the hospital. I don't know where that little girl is now, but mother forsook the baby. The word forsake is a terrible word. And we talk about people who seem to be deprived of everything and call them God-forsaken.